Sister Judy, appreciate the good song today. Well, as always, I ask for your prayers. I need your prayers. I need the Lord's help. I want to share just the reading of two verses for a scripture reading today. One of them in the Old Testament scriptures and one of them in the New. If you want to follow along with me, I'd ask you first to look at the ninth psalm in the 17th verse of Psalm chapter 9. It says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And then I want to read the last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is verse 58. The Apostle Paul had written to the church at Corinth, and he had given a great exhortation concerning the resurrection. And in the last verse of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And I would like to speak today about the work of the Lord. But I want you to, as you think about this, I want you to think about what we have read from the ninth psalm, that the wicked will be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. We, throughout the revival services that we've had this past week, up through last night at the tent meeting, we heard these brethren say a lot about hell, which is pretty common when you hear the truth preached, when you're reaching out, trying to reach out with the gospel to people that are lost. You're going to commonly hear about that. And it's real. Hell is a place that's real. And it awaits all of those who fail to get right with God. And, you know, as the people of God, we need to remember that. We need to be mindful of that, that hell awaits those who are lost. And certainly if you're here today and you're lost, you need to believe that, that hell awaits those who are lost. And so I want to, as I said, I want to speak about today about the work of the Lord, about who does the work of the Lord, about how important the work of the Lord is. And this has already been made mention of here this morning. This has already been alluded to here today, that since Fairview Memorial last met here, we were not here Wednesday evening. We were at the tent revival, but since Fairview Memorial last met here, we have gone through a presidential election here in our nation. And we now have a president-elect. And he will, if things go as planned, he will shortly assume his office. But I'm going to tell you something, and this has already, again, been mentioned today. There's a lot of confusion in our country. There's a lot of hatred that's going on. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of anger that's being displayed that should not be displayed. But I'm going to tell you something in my mind that's not confusing at all, is that no matter who that it is, that when we elect someone in our nation as a president, I'll tell you one thing that did not happen this past Tuesday, and that is that America did not elect a Savior. We have a Savior. We have the only Savior that we need. And this has already been spoken of, and I'm sure that you've listened to much of this, but we have a president-elect that is saying that in the months to come, that when he takes office, that he will be addressing immigration, that he will be addressing health care, that he'll be addressing foreign policy, taxes, and things of this nature. But I'm going to say this, and I believe this, and a lot of the world today would think that this is just silly. But I believe it. I'm convinced of it, that there's never anything that's done in politics. There's never anything that's done in industry. There's never anything that's done by military power. There's never any type of work that is done in this world that is as important as the work of the Lord. And we cannot afford to let the devil or anyone hinder us in the work of the Lord. The Apostle Paul told the church there at Corinth, he said, "Be steadfast, be unmovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord." You know, the Lord left his work to be done here in this world in the hands of his church. He didn't leave it to civil government. He didn't leave it to the military. He didn't leave it to Congress. He left it to his church. He left his work to his church to be done. And Jesus spoke about it in this way. After his resurrection, he came to the 11 and he told them, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Folks, listen, we have someone today at the head of the church. There's no man on earth that can lay claim to this, but Jesus Christ can. We have someone at the head of the church today that has all power in heaven and in earth, all authority in heaven and in earth. And he told his church, he said, to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all men," which means disciple all men, "and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, and to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded unto you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And Jesus, after not many days, he ascended back to heaven to be with his heavenly Father, and he left that work in the hands of his church. And it is crucial that we do it. It is crucial that we not only that we do a little bit, but that we abound in the work of the Lord. Because listen, if we don't, the stakes are way too high. And so we must do the work of the Lord, and we need to abound in the work of the Lord, and we need somebody that will help us in the work of the Lord. Aren't you glad that we've got divine aid? Aren't you thankful today that we've got, that the scriptures tell us that we're not laboring alone? The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said that we are laborers together with God. And as we met this week, and thank God that it is this way, but as we met this week, there in that tent, there was a presence among us that you can't see him with the natural eye, but you can feel his presence and know that he's there. And that was made reference to several times throughout those services that we were thankful that the Lord showed up, thankful that the Spirit of God was among us, and he can give us what we need to abound in the work of the Lord. Those who hold high office in this land, and there again, there's people. Now you can talk to people in the world today that'll argue this with you, and they'll say that you're just silly, but I believe it's true. The president of the United States does not hold the highest office in the land. From a natural standpoint, perhaps, but he does not hold the highest office in the land, and he's not doing the most important work in the land, the most important work that's being done in this world. You know, we need a reality check sometimes, and we need to be reminded of this, that the most important work that goes on in this world is the work that the Lord Jesus Christ left in the hands of his church to take the gospel out to people, because listen, we are born into this world, and none of us are here for very long, and all people have just a short opportunity to get right with God, to seek him and be saved. And listen, if that doesn't happen, then they're going to be turned into hell with all those nations that forget God. And that needs to be ever present before us in our hearts and in our minds, that there are people around us. Listen, there are people right here today that have never been able yet to tell us that they have been saved by the grace of God. There are people here right now among us today that are lost and separated from God, that don't know him, that don't know of his grace, don't know of his mercy, don't know of his salvation. And listen, if they leave the world that way, they're going to hell. They're going to go to that awful place of torment, and they're going to suffer forever and forever. And sometimes I'm afraid that even as the people of God, that we hear those things and it don't really get down into our hearts the way that it should. But listen, the city that we are located in, here in Bowling Green, Kentucky, yes, right here in the Bible Belt, right here in the South, there's a whole city full of people here around us. They're lost and without the Lord, and they're headed for eternal destruction. And we have been given the message to take to them that there is a Savior that came into this world, that came here and died for their sins, that came here and made a way for them to be saved. As we met this week, and here again I'm going to tell you something that I really do believe. As we met this week, we met in a little tent. Some of the nights it got pretty cold out there. There were not a great deal of people there. I'm thankful for everyone that came. And I guess perhaps under the circumstances, we had good attendance, but still, there was not a great deal of people there any of the nights. We met out there, somebody, I believe it was Brother Tyler, that mentioned last night that the ground, the grass, the dirt there was the floor. There was not a lot of recognition about what we did up on that hill this past week. There was a lot of the world that didn't even know that it was going on, and it was not recognized. It did not receive the recognition many things did earlier in the week when the election was going on and all these things. But I'm telling you what, Brother Ronnie Carter, Brother Mike Wheat, Brother Todd Fugate, Brother Inslee Wright, Brother Buddy Lovell, Brother Tyler Rossi, throughout the week, preached sermons over there, and they were all true, and they were all powerful. And I'll tell you what, there was a work going on there this week that's more important than anything that goes on in Washington, D.C. It's what I believe. Not too long ago, you all probably heard about this, but not too long ago, there was a revival. Some of our brethren held a revival there in view of the White House and little Parker Ferris. Brother Justin and Adrian Ferris's oldest son, Parker, got saved. He got saved in view of the White House. And you know what I thought? I thought that's the best thing that's happened around the White House in a long time. There's something more important than what goes on in this world. Listen today, there's something more important than what happens in this life. And I'm afraid that all of us, too often as God's people, that we allow things to distract us. We allow things to take our minds away from what is real. And the truth is that we have just a short time to labor because our lives on earth are short, and we have just a short time to reach out to those who are lost and in sin. And church, listen, we're running out of time because every day that we live, we're drawing closer to the time when the Lord is going to look down from heaven and he's going to say, "That's enough, I'm finished. I'm tired of the way that people live. I'm tired of the way that all they seem to think about is sin." Just like he saw the world in the days of the flood, when every imagination of the thoughts of men's heart was only evil continually. And he sent the flood to destroy man from the face of the earth. And one day God's going to look down and he's going to say, "That's enough. That's enough." He'll call us home, and the work of the church will be over. And those who are lost will have this testimony that we find in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer's ended, and we are not saved. I'll tell you what. There have been songs that have been written, good songs that have been written, I believe, from hearts of people that expressed a burden to rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. As we look around us, all the fields are white, ripen unto harvest, and how quickly comes the night. Christians must be busy. There is work to do. Here's an urgent task awaiting you. Souls are crying. Men are dying. Won't you lead them to the cross? I believe that song was written with an urgency in the heart of that person that we realize that we don't have forever to win the world. We don't have forever to reach out with the gospel to those who are saved. We try to tell the lost, and we certainly should tell them this, that their time is short. But you know what? Our time to labor is short too. We need a burden. We need a burden. Let me tell you something. We cannot afford to allow anything that goes on outside or inside to hinder us from the work of the Lord, because the stakes are just too high. We can't allow the influence of the world around us to distract us and to take away our focus and take away our minds from reality. We can't let problems within. We can't let, you know, when there's problems in the church, we can't let that distract us from the work that God has left us here to do. Because listen, the very first thing that Jesus commissioned his church to do was to reach out to those who are lost and in sin, to reach out to them with the gospel, go everywhere spreading the word, letting people know that they can be saved. That was the very first thing that he told us to do. These men that preached this past week, they shared a much greater message with the people of this world than you'll hear the politicians sharing. The Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible says in Hebrews 4 and 12, the Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and of the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And listen, there may be things that are said every day in this world that may be important and may be helpful to people to help them with their temporary life. But listen, there's a world beyond this that's going to last forever. There is an afterlife, and we're all going into eternity one day. And listen, the condition that you go into eternity in is what really counts. Oh, Brother Mike Wheat, he preached about that rich man and Lazarus, I believe Tuesday night, and it was so plain, that a beggar, somebody that don't have anything in this world, somebody that doesn't even have enough food to eat, somebody that doesn't have sufficient clothing, doesn't make any difference what they're lacking. If they know the Lord, they're better off than the richest people of the world, according to the standards of this world, that don't know the Lord. That message just radiated in my heart. The world's got it backwards. They think that all is well if you can have all of the goods of this world, but that's not what's important. What's important is where we stand with God and the work that we have to do as the Lord's church is to take this message to those who are lost. And we need a burden. We need a burden. I want to read to you the scriptures that I believe describes what it means for a child of God to really be burdened about lost souls. Romans chapter 9, beginning with verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Why? What was wrong with Paul? I mean, he was a Christian. He was a child of God. He was a man of God. He was a preacher. He was an apostle. Why was he so sad? Why was there such great heaviness? Why was there such sorrow in the heart of this Christian man? Because he was concerned about others. I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Listen to this. You take this and you really study this verse and you really study what the Apostle Paul actually said here, and it's quite alarming. He said, for I could wish that myself, were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Now, I'll tell you what I believe Paul said there. I believe he wanted those people to be saved so bad that he said, I could wish myself accursed from Christ for that. You think about that. Let that sink in. And he goes on over in the 10th chapter, and he explains it this way. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You know what? I would certainly never say that the people of God are not concerned about the lost, because I believe that we are. But I will say this, that I don't believe that the burden that we ought to have for them is what it ought to be. And I think that a lot of times the reason for that is we don't think enough. We get our minds and our hearts clouded with things that distract us, and we don't think enough about the reality of the situation of these beautiful young people among us, and these people that are around us every day. They're marching towards hell in a fury, in a fast pace. All they've got their minds on is sin and temporal things. That ought to be a great burden to us. Paul wanted these people to be saved, and it was causing him grief. It was causing him a heaviness, and it was causing him a sorrow in his heart, because he was so burdened, and his heart's desire and prayer to God for his nation of people, the Jews, is that they might be saved. Jesus told his church in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, he said, "You're the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's good for nothing. Henceforth, it's good for nothing but to be trodden under foot of men." We are the light of the world, and we are to let our light shine, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Even Jesus Christ, our Lord, when he came here into this world to do the work of the Father and to give his life a ransom for our sins, even Jesus Christ, since the urgency of the work that he had before him, in John chapter 9, verse 4, he said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, because the night cometh when no man can work." And we must work the works of God while we have the opportunity, because the night is coming. The night is coming. Darkness is going to fall upon those who are lost. And we need to rescue as many as we can. That's what that song, that one song was about. Rescue the perishing. We need to point them to the Lord. Point them to the one that's able to take away their sins. And I'll tell you what, and I believe this just as much as anybody does. We say this all the time, that it's up to them. And it is. It's going to have to be their prayer that the Lord will hear. But I'll tell you what, you let a good church really get to praying for the lost souls. You let a good church get burdened for lost people, and you'll see them be a lot more responsive to the Word of God. You'll see them have a greater desire to be saved because they see something in us. One of the things, and I've shared this many times, one of the things that touched me so much in my young years when I was lost was how much that people showed me that they loved me and that they cared for me, and they were so burdened about my soul. They would come to me and they would lay their head on my shoulder and they would cry on me and they would plead with me with trembling voices to seek the Lord, and I could tell that they were so burdened about my soul. And it just had a great impact and a great influence upon me. And it'll still work today. It'll still work today. I brought to you what the Lord placed upon my heart. You know what? It'll be up to us as a church to do with it what we will. We have been given the responsibility of the greatest work on earth. The greatest work on earth. You know what? You go out, you preach a little tent revival somewhere, something like that. As I said, it may not be noticed by many, but the greatest work on earth is going on there. When the gospel is being declared, when the church is doing what the Lord left her here to do, the most important work on earth is being done. And Paul said, we need to abound in that. We need to abound in the work of the Lord. We don't ever need to get satisfied. We don't ever need to be settled. You know what? Listen. Every time that a soul gets saved, that's wonderful, but there's many more that are still lost and without the Lord. And people this week during the tent revival, people ask prayer, you know, pray for my husband, pray for my son, pray for my grandchildren who are lost. And boy, we need to take that seriously. We need to take that seriously. All of us have people that are near and dear to our hearts that right now, I mean, as we stand here right now, as we are gathered here today, we have people that we love that are on their way to eternal destruction, eternal damnation, and we don't have any time to waste. We need to win the lost. We need to win the lost at any cost. Brother Strode, let's have a song.